It came as a result of the position of leadership which was imposed upon us by the God of heaven, who brought forth a restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when the declaration was made concerning the own and only true and living church upon the face of the earth, we were immediately put in a position of loneliness, the loneliness of leadership, from which we cannot shrink nor run away, and to which we must face up with boldness and courage and ability.
This is Leading LDS, a podcast about leadership in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. This is not an official production of the church, but is simply a guy behind a microphone trying to be a better leader. In this episode, I want to talk about a concept that may seem obvious at first, or it may seem like something you are already doing, but I think with a deeper thought and approach, you might find some ways to motivate those in your ward or quorum to resolve some of your biggest concerns as a leader. The scriptural phrase, "come down," is a phrase very commonly found in the scriptures. It is often used in the context of a request to a leader, requesting they come down from their mountain or from whatever state they are in. In the Bible, Daniel pleaded for Saul to come down. The Lord came down to the valley of Nimrod to speak to the brother of Jared. There were even times when leaders refused to come down because they were involved in a great work. And of course, God himself came down among the children of men. Leadership has a natural tendency to put you on a higher level. Now, I don't mean that in terms of pride or prestige, but rather in terms of perspective. As a leader, you have a unique perspective to the status of the ward or quorum. You have a specific authority, or sometimes even priesthood keys, that give you access to inspiration that nobody else in the ward has. For example, an elder's quorum president has access to home teaching reports, maybe attendance reports. He has attended meetings where information about certain individuals or families or ward programs were shared. And from this exclusive information, and after assessing this exclusive information, the elder's quorum president might see a dramatic attendance drop between sacrament meeting and elder's quorum meeting. Or while others in the quorum are doing their best to home teach, the elder's quorum president can look at his reports and notice 5 specific families not being home taught. And if these specific families were home taught and felt more comfortable at church and reactivated, that could have a dramatic impact on the ward. Now, humans tend to generalize their experience or perspective. People think that because they can see an obvious problem, everyone around them can obviously see the problem. As a leader, we then get frustrated why this obvious problem isn't being seen and fixed by others in our quorum. It is the duty of the leader to articulate the problem, even the obvious problems, so everyone can gain a desire to find a solution. Once the quorum problem is described and the leader invites the quorum to act, those you lead will understand why this is a problem and help you find a solution. In Abraham chapter 3, verse 21, the Lord came down unto Abraham to declare unto him. Abraham learned important truths during this experience with the Lord about the Lord's plan, and learned that he was chosen before he was born. This was an informative experience for Abraham. From this experience, he was able to understand his purpose and then take action. He could not have gained this understanding without the Lord coming down and articulating it to him. I can understand if this seems frustrating. Do we really need to spoon-feed people problems? Do they really not see these obvious service gaps? As leaders, we sometimes feel like the duty of those we lead has already been explained. We feel they clearly understand their expectation to do their home teaching or magnify their calling. It's true. There are general understandings that have been drilled into our heads for years. For example, home teaching, taking meals to new moms, fellowshipping those around you, etc. But these are simply too general. It is crucial for a leader to explain the more detailed problems that face a quorum or group. Now, obviously, I'm not referencing those problems that are within the confidences of a bishop or an elders' quorum president that shouldn't be shared. These detailed problems usually include names of individuals struggling or unique characteristics of your ward that may not be apparent to the armchair quarterbacks casually attending week to week. For example, a Sunday school president may know that he needs to keep an eye on things during the Sunday school hour, but he may not know that 20% of the ward is leaving before the Sunday school hour begins. Or a scout leader may know he needs to put on a Wednesday activity each week, but he may not realize Brother Larson in the elders' quorum has finally made consistent contact with a less active family with scouting age boys. Communicating from your unique leadership perspective also humanizes the problem, which research has shown makes it more likely people will be willing to help fix the problem if they see it connected to actual people. Let me share a personal example of how this worked. A few years ago, as I was serving as bishop, I felt a constant nudge to be more familiar with my flock. I was the bishop of a very transient ward, and some months I had 60 membership records leave the ward and 60 new membership records come into the ward. It was very difficult to keep up on who was who on the rolls. Many of these new records were less active, so from the perspective of the active ward members, they weren't seeing the reports week to week showing such a dramatic change in the ward roster. It was all happening behind the scenes, and the general ward body had no idea. As the leader of the ward, me as bishop, I had a unique perspective, and it was my role to come down and share with them what was happening. I knew I may never see 100% home teaching in my ward, but I could at least know who everyone on the rolls were. The Spirit continued to prod me. One day, I printed out the entire ward list and went through each name. If I didn't recognize the name, I highlighted it. By the time I went through each name on the list, I had 155 households that I had no idea who they were. This was 46% of the total ward membership that me as bishop, I had no clue who they were. This was a problem. I didn't know how I was going to track down all 155 households. As a leader, I needed to take it to the ward, invite each member to act. The following year was full of experimenting with different ideas. We tried meeting on various nights during the week, whichever was most convenient for ward members. We would give everyone a list of names and invite them to go knock on their doors and determine if this person even lived there, and if so, if they would be interested in attending with us on Sunday. We made good progress, but then the winter months hit. This made it difficult to knock on doors in the evening when it was dark and cold. I then started printing all the unknown names on a sheet of paper and handing copies out as people came into sacrament meeting. I'm still doing this practice today, and all members of my ward know they can expect an updated list each week as they walk into sacrament meeting. I take time during ward business to stand and draw attention to the ward find list and encourage them to take time each week to knock on a few doors and find those brothers and sisters that are currently lost. This has become part of our ward culture. It has generated excitement and commitment because everyone knows they can make a difference by knocking on the door each week. They understand the problem, and they are constantly invited to take action from me as their bishop. Those 155 unknown households has diminished to less than 30 households that are still unknown. I have no doubt that we can get it under 10 households and then simply focus on the new records that come in from week to week. This was not a task I could have done on my own because I came down and helped my ward members understand the problem that we faced. Miracles have happened, and we are focused as a ward to make a difference. Leaders too often carry the burden of the quorum problems on their own shoulders, assuming everyone else sees the problem when they do not. It is now your duty as the leader to effectively communicate these problems to those you lead. This is done by making sure your Quorum or Relief Society meeting isn't just another Sunday school class. It's a time for you to share problems and concerns, discuss ideas as a Quorum and improve, and then invite the group to take action to discover a solution. Bishops should not be afraid to use their ward business time during sacrament meeting to discuss, well, ward business. Don't casually run through calling, releasings, and sustainings. Take a moment to articulate what is on your mind as the person receiving the revelation for the ward. Let them know how concerned you are and how much a difference could be made by the ward taking action in simple ways. As always, I sure appreciate you taking the time to listen. I've noticed some fantastic comments on some of the most recent posts on Leading LDS. So please take some time to share how you as a leader have noticed some unique problems in your ward and how you effectively communicated that and saw great results. Similar to the example I shared, the more stories and examples we share, the more likely other leaders will know how to approach similar situations. If we can all share our good and bad ideas, we are more likely to raise the kingdom another level. Let's share those ideas. So I need your support. If you find that the content of Leading LDS is helpful or you wish to improve some, I encourage you to do one of three things. One, if you're a bishop, share this post with your ward council. If you're a young women's president, share this post with your bishop. The more we share this content, get ideas going back and forth, get the wheels turning, the better ideas will raise to the surface. And the more we share those, the more everyone will benefit. Another way, if you or your ward has a unique approach to a church program or problem, I'd love to hear about it. Email me on the contact page of Leading LDS and share your story. These experiences are important to get out there. And lastly, another way to support Leading LDS is to check out the handful of items we sell through the website. One is the Consequence Stick, which is a fantastic visual aid for leaders, parents, or teachers. The other is the Food Order Reference Guide, which will be going on sale in April of 2015. It's an awesome tool for those leaders carrying the burden of distributing food orders. The Food Order Reference Guide will help you more effectively fill out a food order form so that you can save time, save church resources, and most importantly, make sure that you are helping those families get enough food. If you aren't involved in that process, it would be such a wonderful gesture to buy one of those and drop it on the desk of your bishop or give it to your Relief Society president, because they will find great value and their burden will be made lighter through that. So until next time, be a leader and not a calling.